1. Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Lights. I'm your host, Beau Marchant, and tonight we're jam-packed with another solid show for you. We're going to go to Division III school, Christopher Newport, and we're going to be talking with running back Tunde Ogun. He's a super running back in D3 football. He's won all kind of awards. He's going to be joining us, and we're also going to be joined by Justin Van Vulpen, our NFL draft guru, and head coach from the Buffalo Bulls, Turner Gill, former Nebraska Husky. He's going to be on the show. And as well, pre-tapes from last week, we're going to have the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Mark Richt. Right now, we have Ogun, Christopher Newport, captain, D3 running back. He was 2008 All-American team. Sunday, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you, bro?
Excellent. Now, you were heavily sought after in high school, and I think most notably you were sought after by Cincinnati. I think, I'm not sure if you signed a letter of contempt with South Carolina State. What brought you to the Christopher Newport Captains? How did you end up there?
Well, it's really a long story. I'll try to shorten it up for broadcast sake. But, yeah, I definitely signed a letter of intent out of high school with South Carolina State. I went down there for a year. The situation really didn't fit me, you know what I mean? So I decided to leave and go to Cincinnati, another school that recruited me out of high school. I went up there, and everything was going great, actually. You know what I'm saying? I was having a good time. You know what I'm saying? I felt like my time was going to come. And then we've had a wholesale coaching change. As you know, Coach D'Antonio, he left and went up to Michigan State. So then I kind of just fell through the loop. There, I mean, you know how that goes when there's a coaching change. And I decided then that I was going to, you know what I'm saying, come somewhere closer to home, you know what I'm saying, and go ahead and just finish out my years. And I was actually talking heavily with William and Mary. And I went there and I talked with the coaches and everything was working out. Got down to the admissions office and they were like, I needed to have a 3-4 to go in and I only had a 2-9. A long story even shorter, Coach K used to coach at William & Mary and he kind of contacted me and was like, listen, you know, if you want a chance to play for a championship football team, you know what I'm saying, we have a good situation, decent facilities, and if you come check us out, I did that and I liked what I saw, you know, I signed up.
Excellent. And, I mean, the rest has turned out to be fantastic for you. You earned all kind of accolades last season. Like I said, one award after another. Do you feel there's kind of a pressure heading into your senior season? You kind of set the bar so high. Do you have any pressure that you put on your own shoulders?
Well, I always like to challenge myself. You know, I always like to challenge myself. I know that sounds cliche, but that's definitely something I like to do. So, in a way, last year's kind of a blessing. You know, setting the bar higher like that really doesn't leave me any room to slack off or get complacent. You know, last year, you know, it was a good year for me, but I still think it could be a lot better. You know, there's some things I want to work on. You know, I mean, I can definitely run the ball, but there's some things as far as maybe pass blocking and just becoming more of a complete football player that I definitely want to work on.
Now a little birdie told me that at one of the Nike camps, you ran a faster 40 time than Oakland Raiders first-round pick Darius Hayward Bay. Is that true?
Yeah, at the Charlottesville Nike camp in 2004, I was clocked at a 4.35, but that was probably about 30 pounds ago. Yeah, I think I was 179 when I ran that time, but yeah, definitely.
Excellent. And, I watched your highlights. If people go to YouTube and type in Tunde Ogun, T-U-N-D-E-O-G-U-N, you can see a highlight reel of him breaking off run after another. What is your style of play? I mean, is it the speed? I mean, what's the most lethal aspect of the game that you bring?
I can't really pinpoint one thing. Again, that's another cliche answer, but I'm definitely a one-cut-and-go type back. I wouldn't say that I'm a scat back that's going to sit there and dance around a whole lot. I like to keep it, you know, one-cut-go and get up the field, and I definitely like to believe that I have the breakaway speed, you know what I mean, to finish off my runs. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a finesse back. I can make defenders miss in open space, but as well, you know what I'm saying, I can run through the tackles. I like to just, like, if I could, I want to sum myself up as complete. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, be one-dimensional and just pick one genre. I'd like to think of myself as a complete back.
Now, in preparation for your senior season, because, I mean, you're going to have a lot riding on this year, have you been doing any off-season workouts or training or anything in preparation for this?
Definitely. I'm still training at the Velocity Sports Complex out in Hampton. You know, I've been working with my trainer, Delmas Coley, and a guy named Cody, who was also a center at University of William & Mary. And I've been standing there with my speed and my explosion training, you know what I'm saying, just trying to stay focused on that. My main emphasis, though, however, this summer is really just trying to slim up, really, and I'm cutting my weight. At my pro day, I came in at 228. You know, I put on a little bit of weight because I felt like, you know, I could probably carry it a little bit better, you know, just trying to prepare myself for, you know, the next level. But, you know what I'm saying, after running my 40 time and, you know what I'm saying, seeing how I felt at 228, I decided to, you know what I'm saying, trim back down. This season, I'd like to probably play maybe at 215 again, you know, at most, okay. 219, 218. But definitely my point
right
of emphasis. Right now, I just got out of the gym earlier today, and I stepped on the scale, and I was 221.8. So.
does that aggravate you? I mean, are you like, oh, man, or what?
I feel good at 221 right now, considering, you know, when I go into camp, you're gonna shed the 5 to 7 in camp, so that'll put me really at my goal of 215.
Excellent. And now your pro day, you worked out in a pro day last season?
Yes, sir.
And now you ran the 40. Now you had a bothersome hip. You weren't healthy, were you?
I wasn't, and I probably shouldn't have ran, but I did. I definitely got caught up in the excitement of actually having NFL teams come out and look at me. It probably wasn't the smartest thing for me to run, but I did.
Excellent. And you know what? That leads me to the next question. I was going to ask you, have there been any scouts or any teams, like, on attendance to watch any of your games or anything that you're aware of?
I couldn't sit here and tell you that I know specific teams that came and watched last year, but definitely after my pro day, you know, teams told me, hey, we're going to be back in the fall to check you out in game. So, I mean, I know that there'll be people here this year, but I couldn't tell you anything about last year.
Okay. Could you mention the teams that came to see you?
The two I know for sure, I know the Panthers were there for sure, and I know Coach K is in contact with the Steelers. Those are the two teams that I know for sure. Everything else is up in the air because I think they were, combine scouts, something like
okay,
that.
Yeah.
So I mean, they didn't really have jackets on, but they were from different teams.
Yeah, that's an odd atmosphere, isn't it? I mean, you going through it, but I witnessed a couple last season. It's such a strange thing knowing that so much depends on, like, that run at that specific time. I mean, it's kind of like all your work kind of comes down to, you know, you running that 40 that day. It's crazy, isn't it?
Definitely. It's definitely a nerve-wracking experience, but it's also a pleasant one. I mean, because when you're doing it, you know, I mean, there's a ton of guys, you know what I'm saying, in the country that want to be you at that moment. So, I mean, it's pressure at the same time, but at the same time, it's a blessing. You know, and I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Now, you know, your uncle Irwin, we spoke earlier last week. We were touching base on your skills and whatnot. You know, he told me that you're a Washington Redskins fan.
Honestly, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan, but I do support the Redskins as well. I do support the Redskins as well because they're the home team, you know.
Yeah. Is there any players that you kind of like try to pattern your game off of, or any players that you really enjoy watching?
I mean, again, Adrian Peterson, I think, is every running back's, you know, dream right now. You know, you want to be like AP. But I like a lot of guys. I like Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Marshawn Lynch is definitely a guy that I admire. Lindell White, even, you know, I like Lindell because, you know what I'm saying, he's tough inside, and that's something that you got to be able to do at the next level.
Excellent. I'm not familiar. Do you have any big games, Christopher Newport, your 2009 schedule? Are there any big schools that you guys have on the docket? Anything special?
Well, honestly, Bo, another cliched answer, but every team we play is big. I mean, if we lose one game, that could be a season-ending game, honestly. But a few highlighted games, definitely, they're probably tough this year, is our opener. We open up with Wesley. That's another ranked opponent. One of their guys actually just went to the league, Larry Beavers. We got North Carolina Wesleyan. They always play us tough. Barham. You know, we got a lot of decent games on our schedule this year.
Excellent. Now, heading into your senior season, I mean, do you have any goals that you set, I mean, that you're going to set or you've already set for yourself? I mean, anything that you're really going to try to achieve?
I mean, specific, like, I don't know if I can sit and give you specific numbers. You know, I haven't sat there and sat down and be like, yeah, I want to have this many yards or this many TDs, but I definitely want to have a complete season. You know what I mean? Again, going back to just turning myself into a complete player. You know what I mean? And winning games, that's definitely key. Because, I mean, if I have 2,000 yards rushing and we don't go to the playoffs, it essentially means nothing. So as far as goals, I definitely want to get this one-and-done playoff monkey off my back. You know, everybody's kind of looking at us as a one-and-done playoff team, and I know better than anybody that we're not. So I definitely want to just, you know what I'm saying, contribute and do everything that I know I can do just to help my team win.
Excellent. And we're talking with Tunde Ogun. He's from Christopher Newport, the Captains. They're from Newport News, Virginia, and Tunde was the USA South Offensive Player of the Year. He was also D3 All-American. I think you also won the Virginia Player of the Year that's given out to Division II and III and NAIA players. Fantastic talent, and I'm really happy we got connected. And like I said, I look forward to kind of touching base. And you got the number, Tunde. You're always more than welcome to call in the show. I'd love to touch base throughout the season and kind of journal you as you go through the season on to your I know just from working with this last season. Dude, after January, you think you're working hard now, you're going to go to a whole nother level. You know that.
Hey, I'm ready for it, bro. That's the ultimate goal, is to be in a position where I can work hard in January.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're setting yourself up to be in that position. And you know, I just wish you health, and you know, I hope you prosper in the offense, and you guys make it far in the playoffs. And
sir,
I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And like I said, you're more than welcome to call in anytime, and keep us informed on what's going on with your game.
Thank you. I appreciate it, bro.
Anytime. And that was Tunde Ogun. He was, like I said, fantastic talent. And like I said, it's nice to touch base with new guys and new faces. And that's the exciting part about hosting the show. We get the opportunity to speak with guys like Tunde. Guys, D3, super prospect. Then we're going to, you know, you're going to listen to Coach Turner Gill from the Buffalo Bulls. You know, Mark Richt, Justin Van Volpen. We bring it all to you here on the NFL Draft Bible. All Access Football, Monday Night Lights. It's a fantastic effort on all parts. And like I said, I enjoyed talking with him. And a guy like that, he's going to be fun to follow. And you guys listening, you know, if you weren't listening to the show, you're never going to become familiar unless you lived in Newport News, Virginia, where you're going to become familiar with such a D3 super talent like Tunde Ogun. And like I said, wish him the best. And earlier in the week, I was privileged enough, spoke with Turner Gill, and he was a fun talent. I'm going to play our recording of Coach Gill now for you.
Another edition of Coach's Corner, sponsored by the NFL Draft Bible, and today we're lucky enough to be joined by the head coach of the Buffalo Bulls, Coach Turner Gill. Coach Gill, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Across the country, actually across
mean, your success has, you know, every time a big name, a big school job, you know, that there's an opening, your name seems to surface. What's that like for you and the kids on your team? Is that something you address to them when you kind of interview for the last couple jobs you've had, you interviewed for? Do you address it to the team before or after, or is that something that you don't discuss?
We talk about the beginning of the year, so that therefore when things come along during the past of a football season, as I teach them in a football game, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that come up across your life, and that you're going to be able to still stay focused, including myself. But so we talk about those things, particularly in our preseason camp and right before the first game. So when something comes along during the season, it's not a total shock to them. And then we've also described to them how they need to handle it and how they need to go about doing things. So therefore, there are going to be those distractions. But the only thing you can do is do the things that you can control. So that's what we always keep everything in that right perspective.
Excellent. And for the people listening in out there, we're talking to Buffalo Bulls head coach Turner Gill. Looking at your upcoming season, I noticed that you relinquished the offensive play calling rights. You're going to give that to new offensive coordinator Danny Barrett. Was that hard for you to give up the play calling?
I can go either way. It's just I'm not a guy that's right. I always got to be in control of things of that nature. But if I feel what's appropriate for our football program to move forward, then that's the decision that I need to make. And I think at this point in time of our program, I need to reduce my accurate involvement in play calling and making sure that I'm ready to do all some of these other things and making sure we got the right personnel, making sure that our coaches are coaching right. And so I believe in Danny Barrett, and I believe that he's prepared to do that, and that's why I relinquished it. Again, I'm not going to be a guy that's going to stand over his shoulder and call plays. He's going to totally call all the plays this year, and I think he would do an outstanding job for us.
And keeping it on the offensive side of the ball, you have a couple of standouts, James Starks and Namon Roosevelt, running back and receiver. With Zach Maynard taking over at the quarterback position, will you rely more on Starks this year, or will you try to keep things even keel?
We're going to balance offense just like we have been before. We're still on throw the football. We're still on run the football. We're probably anywhere about 60% run the ball and 40% passing, and we hope to continue to do that. We're just going to probably be on a little different style just because of the athletic ability of Zach Maynard. He's able to do things with his legs and take off running. That's really the difference between him and Drew Willie. Drew was an outstanding, accurate passer. That was his big attribute. And so we're still going to throw the ball because we got a good situation with our receivers, and we have the quarterback. He's just had as many reps, but he definitely has a stronger arm than Drew. It's a matter now in this playing time and see if he's going to be able to be as accurate and also take care of the football.
Now, you think Zach Maynard's going to flourish in this system? I mean, you spent time at Nebraska. You were a finalist for the Heisman. I mean, obviously, you know how to play the position. Danny Barrett as well. He helped with Garcia when he was coaching in the Canadian League. Do you guys really think you have a head start on getting these kids really updated and ready to go when it comes to this position and the way the style you want to play it?
I believe so. It's the right fit for myself and Danny working together with quarterbacks, and we have played the position. We've been through all the ups and downs. We understand this young man and how they look at things, and so, again, they got great people to really mold them into what we're trying to get done. So we got a perfect situation, I believe, here at the University of Buffalo with Danny and myself as far as the quarterbacks.
Excellent. And switching it over to the defensive side of the ball, you bring your secondary this season should be outstanding. Devontae Shannon, first team All-MAC. I think he was the first player in Buffalo's history to be first team MAC both his first seasons. And then Kendrick Hawkins and Mike Newton with new defensive coordinator Fred Reed. What does that secondary allow you to do since it should be so maybe the best in the MAC?
Well, everybody on there at least has played a full 2 years. There's been one guy that's played 3 years, and that's Mike Newton. So we definitely have played a lot of football. I've been a lot of different venues, to Auburn and Wisconsin and Penn State. And, you know, all different places. So our secondary is very, very strong, very experienced, and we feel very, very good about it. So I think that we should be in pretty good shape. But you still got to risk the passer. You can't hold, you know, can't cover anybody all day long. And we feel
champion of the MAC. Do you feel a little added pressure when you step into the office each day? What's that like being the title holder?
Marshal of a parade, but I've been actually raced. Probably I'm really excited about it here, particularly the IndyCars there.
information there for you. But Coach Turner Gill will be the grand marshal of the race, and tickets purchased will benefit the YMCAs of Buffalo and Niagara. And as always, Coach Gill, I want to thank you for joining us on the NFL Draft Bible, and we wish you the best this upcoming season, and look forward to touching base in the future.
Thank you both for having us on, and again, it's great to, also like you mentioned about the race, they're benefiting the YMCAs of the Buffalo and areas in the Niagara and, County.
Excellent. Have a great day, Coach.
Thank you.
And that was Coach Turner Gill of the Buffalo Bulls, the defending MAC champions. He was also the MAC Coach of the Year last season. He's really turned that program around. Anyone who's familiar with the MAC or a big-time college fan, you might remember he was up for the Auburn job, which created a little bit of a controversy due to race. And then I think it was proven, maybe not proven, but kind of agreed upon in a lot of circles that his resume for the Auburn job was definitely something that looked like it might have got overlooked. But like I said, Coach Turner Gill, fantastic coach, and obviously he's a coach, and that's a program that you're going to be hearing more of as each season progresses and he builds that program into one of the best in the MAC. And that's something to say because there's a lot of good football played in the MAC. I say that's a pretty good achievement. I think he enters his fourth season with the Buffalo program. I want to have a show reminder note tomorrow, June 30th, 5 p.m. On Blog Talk Radio. You're going to go there and you're going to listen to the NFL Draft Bible crew. They're going to bring you the fantasy football running back breakdown. That's at 5 o'clock. Go to Blog Talk, All Access Football. And Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, and Ralph Mancini, they're going to break down the 2009 fantasy football running backs, and I'm curious to hear it. And I feel I got a little snubbed not being invited on the show, considering that the cast and crew at the NFL Draft Bible, we did the fantasy league last season, and I was fortunate enough to pull out the title. So, excited to hear the show tomorrow. I know I'm going to be listening, and anybody out there, remember, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, Blog Talk Radio, All Access Football, and you're going to get a little fantasy football fix. I know that's starting to really kick in the high gear. Fantasy football is right around the corner, along with all the other football action. I'm at the top of the hour. We're going to be joined by our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen, and tonight we're going to be breaking down the Big East Top 10 Senior Prospects. And Justin's been breaking down each conference. They're fantastic to check out. Make sure you go to the NFL Draft Bible. There you're going to find all of Justin's work archived there. He's done the SEC. He's done Big 12, Big 10, Pac-10. And like I said, I enjoy it. And every week, it's it's just a good time. And like I said, I look forward to him joining us. Yeah, we had a caller, and then we just missed a caller. So they're calling in and they're calling out. Remember, you guys know the number. You can call into the show, 347-945-6275. Feel free to call in. We'll take your calls. And I know I've been promising Mark Richt. We talked to him a few weeks ago, and I've been trying to get this show plugged so we can get it on. It just seems like we always run a little late when Justin calls because we really get into it. Because it's just a good conversation, and we kind of run over. If we don't get to it this week, I promise the listeners out there that Georgia Bulldog head coach Mark Richt, that interview with Coach Richt, that will be played at the top of next Monday Night Light. Next week, that will be played at the top of the show, because it's something to look forward to. He also mentioned A.J. Green, the phenomenal freshman from Georgia. He mentioned that he played with a bad groin last year, which is something to take note of considering how just unbelievably successful he was last season. A super talent. And he made a lot of good points. We talked about what it's like to have a Stafford or Moreno. Knowing that those guys are going to go pro and there's not much you can do. I mean, Stafford stayed, but, you know, Moreno, two-year gone. So, like I said, interesting piece. And like I said, I was excited to get to speak with Coach Rick. And I'm your host, Bo Marchant, and I'm seeing that 616 area code. That means only one thing, folks. Justin, what's up?
No much, man. What's going on?
What's going on?
Nothing. As I promised you folks, at the top of the hour, our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen, he's joining us. And we're going to be talking Big East top 10 senior prospects tonight. And you can find the rest of Justin's work at the NFL Draft Bible, where he's broken down the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-10. Am I missing any other ones?
Nope, you're good, man.
You're good, man.
And tonight we're gonna be talking a little Big East football. We had an interesting kid on earlier. I'm not sure if you were listening, but Tunge Ogun, he's from Christopher Newport, D3 school. But seems like a real nice talent. He's a running back. Said he actually worked out for some scouts last year during their pro day, just to run some drills. I thought that was kind of interesting. You ever hear anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely as far as those D2, D3, Division 1 AA guys, they'll definitely work out in the spring and get a grade. Got a chance to look at the top 700 prospects, seniors that have been graded, and there's a couple D3 guys that are in there. So, I mean, when we get through here in next, February, March, when we're talking about guys, there's going to be a couple probably D2, D3 guys that we'll talk about in the prospect list.
Excellent. And getting to the Big East top 10 senior prospect list. Now, you told me to guess last week, and I didn't get what school would have the most picks, but at least I did get the school with the first pick. You got to give me some love for that, though, right, with Syracuse.
Yeah. There's definitely some love there as far as their defensive tackle. As far as his rating, he's off the chart with NFL scouts. I mean, definitely a guy who could be a top 15 pick in the NFL draft. Really what I do like about him is he is that typical 4-3 defensive tackle. A guy who can play that Tampa 2, 6'4", 300-pound guy who can rush the passer, very good as far as penetrating. And really what I look at as far as him is a guy who's probably not going to be, when it's all said and done, a top 15 pick when the juniors come out, but he's going to be a first-round guy if he lives up to that talent. Yes, he did have an injury or his pec tor muscle that he had here this spring in the weight room, a kind of a freak accident, needs to come back and have that strength that he showed again. And again, that's going to come combine and pro day workouts, what type of 25 he can put up. But definitely as far as he's a first-round type talent, that's a tackle position.
Excellent. And we're talking about Arthur Jones, D-tackle from Syracuse. How high do you think his ceiling is? I mean, how high of a first-round grade do you think he can get to?
Well, right now he's got seventh overall prospect with the senior class as far as his grade, and I think that's where his ceiling is that top 10. I don't think as far as when we're all said and done, he'll be a top 10 pick, but right now, talking to NFL scouts and looking at both National and Blesso, he is a top 10 talent according to the rating service.
That's pretty impressive, considering kind of how low the team has played in the last couple of years to have such a standout defensive tackle coming out of the school, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, he's a 6'4", 300-pound guy, like we talked about. I mean, he's just as far as Warren Sapp type guy, as far as a penetrator, a guy who can make plays in the backfield as far as in the rush game as well as the pass game as far as really make a lot of plays there. And Syracuse has been down. They've got some talent. They've got the receiver who we won't talk about tonight, but Mike Williams there, he's definitely a 6'4", 220-pound guy who is, in my opinion, probably a top 15 receiver, senior class-wise.
And number two on your Big East top 10 seniors prospect list, we're going to the South Florida Bulls. They got the first one on the board here, and George Selvey, defensive end. Noticed a slump from his sophomore performance to his senior, his junior year. I think I read on your piece that he's coming back for his senior year. Depending on his senior year, how high can he jump with a good senior year, and how low can he fall with a bad senior year?
Well, I think he could be anywhere between the 15th overall pick next year to probably the 80th overall pick next year. I mean, I think really his senior year is a huge thing. I mean, he had a great sophomore season, had a slump last year. The question is what type of player is he? Is he that sophomore guy or is he that junior guy? If he's a sophomore guy, he's a top 15 pick. He's a defensive end that can rush the passer in a 4-3 defense, and a guy who's just going to be that right defensive end who's going to be a pass rusher against the left tackle, and that's best athlete on your defensive line. If he has, as far as the season he had last year, he's a Michael Johnson type player who went the third round with the Cincinnati Bengals last year. So, I mean, that's the biggest question is, what type of player is he? You know, I mean, I think he's going to be a top 15 to top 20 pick in next year. I think he's gonna turn around, he's going to see that sophomore season, and everybody's going to be like, yeah, this is the guy. Silva's the guy that we really thought he was going to be, and you know, as far as when he was a sophomore, and we'll go ahead and draft him in the top 20.
Excellent. And number three on the Big East top 10 senior prospect list is Jerome Murphy, another South Florida Bull. You mentioned in your report that he is a type of DB that's kind of come in and hit you, and I think everybody always likes a DB, even a corner that comes up and lays a little wood on you. Who's he compared to that we'd be familiar with?
I think Charles Woodson, as far as when he played at Oakland and now with the Green Bay Packers, is a guy who is a great tackler as well as a guy who can cover. You know, he's not a guy who can just do one or the other. I mean, Deion Sanders is a great cover guy but never would come up and make a tackle. Charles Woodson is a guy who can do both. Now, is he going to be a first-round pick? I don't think so. But when you're looking at where Charles Woodson is now, that's where I see him as far as kind of comparing to, as far as just that overall guy who can make those tackles, who can cover. And, you know, I think that's the biggest surprising thing. We talked about last week was South Florida is really kind of coming on. If their defense, they've got four guys in my top 10, and really talking with not just my opinion, but talking with NFL scouts, is that they're expecting a lot of this South Florida defense. They're going to be down there in Tampa a lot. A lot of NFL scouts will be down there as far as watching this talent, this four guys in the senior class. And he's as far as the top defense back in that senior class there in South Florida.
And sticking with South Florida, safety Nate Allen. They got the hat trick. They got 2, 3, and 4 on the Big East top 10 senior prospect list. Versatility comes to mind when you speak of Nate Allen. What's his ceiling, and you know, what kind of game will he bring to the next level?
I think his ceiling is kind of like a Lewis Delman there, who was a second-round pick with the Detroit Lions, a guy who's a big safety who can also cover. I mean, 6'2", 205, a guy who's going to be able to not also play in the box, but also play in the slot, play, you know, as far as in the nickel dime, be able to cover those guys. Yes, I'm going to play Tampa, too, as far as safeties, be able to cover those hash marks and as far as take that half of field away from those quarters. Quarterbacks. I mean, he's the guy who I really like his size, his versatility, and you know, talking with NFL scouts, they really feel he can be kind of a Lewis Delman, who's going to be that end of that first round, beginning of the second round, when we talk about the 2010 NFL draft.
And on Justin Van Vulpen's Big East top 10 year senior prospect list, at number 5, we have our first offensive player. It's Cincinnati wide receiver Marshawn Gilliard. He's intriguing. I was reading your piece, and he's a little smallish, 5'11", 182. Didn't seem like he had the blazing speed. What makes this kid special to be number 5 on the Big East top 10 senior prospect list?
Oh, well, I think the biggest thing is his after the catch, when he scores his yards after the catch. I mean, what he can do once he gets the ball in his hand. The question mark was, hey, everybody is about 6'1", you know, pushing 200 pounds and being a 4-4 guy. Now, when the scouts came in during the senior, or as far as in, during the junior testing period, he was 5'11", you know, 180, ran 4.51. Now, he can improve that. He can improve his weight. He can improve his speed. Obviously, he can't improve the height. I mean, that's where it is, but people thought, hey, this guy could be a first-round receiver. Now, with what he did in the spring, everybody's saying, hey, this guy's more of a second, third-round receiver. But, hey, once he gets the ball in his hands, he can be a dominant player. And that's what I think when you look at him and saying, hey, he's a number two guy, kind of a Lee Evans type receiver. When we're looking at Buffalo with T.O. and Lee Evans, I mean, Lee Evans, I think, is going to have a great season, and I think that's where you can see this kid is at, is definitely that number two wide receiver with a lot of different offenses, because he can, once he gets the hands on the ball, he can make a lot of plays, and, you know, that's what he is anticipating in the spread offense there at Cincinnati this season.
And so now you compare him with like a Lee Evans and like the 5'11", the 182. So I mean, the speed? He's not gonna be so much of a speedster. I mean, is he more like an after the catch type guy?
You know, I think the thing is once we see him be able to work on that 40, and I think he's a lot quicker than he is fast, when he gets to work on his 40 during the off season, once the season is over and getting ready for the combine, we'll see him as a 4.5. I think he'll run a 4.45 at the combine or his pro day there at Cincinnati, and people will say, okay, hey, he's definitely a second-round guy, and he'll get drafted. It'll be more like we talked about a Lee Evans, that type of receiver, because I think he's not a blazer, but he is quick, and once he gets his hands on the ball, he can make a lot of people miss.
Excellent. And we're speaking with Justin Van Fulpen, our NFL draft guru, here on Monday Night Lights, brought to you by All Access Football. Number six on the Big East top 10 senior prospect list is Selvish Kaper, offensive tackle from West Virginia. Is this kid, I mean, what kind of tackle is he? Is he like the finesse-type tackle, or is he one of those big nasties? I mean, what's his style?
As far as finesse, definitely. He's not a big nasty. He plays at West Virginia. They run the spread offense. Or we saw what happened with Pat White. He's more of that wildcat type of quarterback. And that's the biggest thing is him. Is what the NFL questions him is, hey, can he get down there and run block? He's got great feet. I mean, he plays in the spread offense. Less than 300 pounds, you know, about 295. And what he's got great feet. And that's what his biggest asset is that pass block. A lot of teams that I've talked with and watching the film and stuff like that says, hey, this guy can be an elite left tackle if he can put on some weight and be able to be a little bit more nastier and be able to be that run blocker and far be able to push that pile. We haven't seen that there at West Virginia, and we won't see that this season. So you got to say, okay, hey, can he be like Ryan Kalady, who was a first-round pick with Denver a couple years ago and really impressed NFL teams, but he came out of that spread offense there at Boise. Can he be like that player? And that's the biggest question mark. And that's why he is where he is in my ranking. Because talking with NFL scouts, a lot of people have him as a late first-round grade. And I don't think you can put that him at that class until we see what type of run-blocking skills he can have. So we won't be able to see that this season until we get him into the combine, we get him into some pro days, and we're able to get to see him into one-on-one run-blocking skills. If he could do that and be like Ryan Kalady, he's got the athletic ability just like Kalady, and that's where kind of what I put him at is that, hey, he's kind of that second, third round, but he can move up with some good as far as coaching and run blocking, because he's got the pass blocking down as a left tackle.
Excellent. And sticking a little bit with West Virginia football, we talk a lot about Coach Rodriguez leaving. The fallout from him leaving, what's it kind of been like for West Virginia in recruiting and, you know, how the players developing under their new coach?
I mean, they stick with the same type of offense and defense. And I think what they've done, you know, we've seen a lot of talent come out of West Virginia. We've seen Steve Slayton last year have a great rookie year. And I think we've talked about in the past regards to Pat White and what he's going to bring to the NFL and that wildcat type of offense down there in Miami. They haven't been able to produce that, you know, NFL guys, quarterbacks, offensive linemen, and that's the issue that Michigan has with Rich Rodriguez going to Michigan. They're not going to have those Jeff Backus, Jake Long, John Jansen, that list of offensive tackles that they have there in the past.
Excellent. Number seven on the Big East top 10 senior prospect list is UConn defensive end Lindsey Whitten, and there's a little history with him, and tell us about those bloodlines.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Dante Whitner's is his older brother, which is a great thing as far as when we're talking about NFL bloodlines. He's got that. Whitner was a first-round pick with the Buffalo Bills. you know, has played both free and strong safety with the Buffalo Bills. And a lot of people are, you know, probably looking at that list saying, hey, who the heck is this guy? You know, really when you look at him, if he wasn't a full-time starter, you know, as far as was behind a couple of guys who got drafted last year in the NFL draft, but this guy is athletic, defensive end, who's going to play in that 3-4 outside linebacker position. And we, in the last couple of weeks, Bo, we've talked about a lot of guys who's going to make that transition from a 4-3 defensive end in the college ranks to a 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL ranks. This guy's a perfect example. You know, he really fits that mold into that Joey Porter, Terrell Suggs. I mean, you know, a lot of more of those 3-4 defensive ends who made an impact in the NFL, and that's what he does. And that's what, you know, he was a part-time starter last year, is going to be a full-time starter this year at UConn, and UConn's really kind of moved up their program. And this is a guy who I really see in kind of pulling up the draft boards as he goes through his senior year. He goes through the pro days, the combine, the all-star games, and everybody's going to kind of be kind of getting a buzz around him. And I mean, as far as his ceiling is probably a second-round, a top second-round pick. His kind of basement is in that fourth round. He's going to be definitely going to be the guy that's going to be a lot of demand when we come to the NFL draft here. And people are going to be like, hey, who is this guy? And luckily, we get a chance to break down these guys who are, you know, 6-7 months down the road, who people are going to start talking about. And we're talking about them first here on All Access Radio.
Excellent. And you got that right. No stone is uncovered when we're breaking these down. And I know you do a terrific job of bringing us well-documented information on all the guys on this list. Number 8 on the Big East Top 10 Senior Prospect list is Devin McCourty, Rutgers cornerback. Like I said, I always love a DB that's not afraid to make tackle, and this kind of oozes that style. What kind of prospect is McCourty?
I mean, McCourty's a guy who is probably a third-round guy, you know. I mean, Big East doesn't have a ton of first-round talent. We're not talking about the SEC or even the Big 12 when we're talking about breaking down these guys. But these guys are guys who could eventually be those building blocks of an NFL franchise. And he's definitely one of those players, a guy who can be a solid cover two corner as far as playing the zone, play also man-to-man, and a guy who can as far as come up there and really lay the wood. And that's what you're looking for as far as a corner when you're talking about playing the Tampa 2 defense and that zone coverage, and a guy who you don't want to get beat and a guy who's going to come up and support the run. And that's what he's really very good at. He can play the ball well. And he's got to get better as far as his ball skills. And if he does that, he can be a second-round pick. But I really look at him as a third-, fourth-round type prospect when it's all said and done. But it's definitely a guy who I really like and think who can be a contributor for his rookie season as a special teams guy, a nickel guy, and eventually be a starter in the NFL.
Excellent. And number 9 on the list is Pittsburgh Panthers tight end Nate Byam. What's his niche, and what kind of grade are you going to give this kid? What type of guy are we getting if a team takes a guy like Nate Byam?
You know, he's a poor man, Jason Witt. A guy who can not only block, but also be a receiver. You know, definitely he's not going to be in that Jason Witt mold. I mean, he could be, but he's not going to be an all-pro when it's all said and done. He's not going to be a Brandon Pettigrew, who's a first-round pick. But it's going to be in that fourth, fifth, ninth round, who can be that number two tight end. We see a lot of teams going to two tight end systems where they want both tight ends to be able to be not only blockers, but also receivers. And that's what he fits into. He's a very good athlete, a guy who can do both inline blocker and also be able to be a flex guy who can come out there and catch passes in the seam, really stretch that defense, make that safety come. Be honest, when those safeties are playing Tampa 2s and they're kind of covering those hashes, be able to make that safety come down and cover him, and allow that receiver on the outside to kind of get into the middle of the field. That's what you're looking for in the number two type of tight end. Well, he's definitely a guy who can be a receiver, but also be an excellent blocker and be a number two receiver and potentially could be a star in the NFL as a tight end. But I look at probably needs to be that more that number two tight end, and NFL teams are definitely looking for that and that type of tight end, that kind of combo guy, both a blocker and a receiver.
I mean, speaking of the tight end and the NFL, I mean, a universal vote, I mean, from NFL teams. I mean, what do they really want? I mean, do they want that, you know, stay in blocking type tight end, or do they want that guy that's going to be able to stretch the field and go out? I mean, just a universal. I mean, which one do they really
want? They want Jason Witten. They want Tony Gonzalez. They want Brandon Pettigrew, who was a first-round pick by the Detroit Lions. They want that guy who can do both, because those guys are so special, because you don't find that many. You find a lot of guys who can be a great inline blocker, and a lot of guys who, like Jermaine Gresham, who we talked about in the Big 12, who can flex out there and be that in that kind of wide receiver tight end, kind of like Sean Nelson was drafted in the fourth round by the Buffalo Bills. You know, they were looking for that Brandon Pettigrew. There's not a lot of Brandon Pettigrews around there. That's why he was a 20th overall pick. You've got Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow, you know, as far as those guys who were first-round picks, those guys are the guys who can do both. There's not many of those guys who can do both. That's why you don't see a lot of tight ends being drafted in the first round.
Okay. And you, like a Jermaine Grisham, is there any shot that he could go as high as Kellen Winslow?
I don't think so. I think when it's all said and done, he's probably in that more of that Brandon Pettigrew, just because he's so special as that, as far as kind of Y guy who's going to be in that slot and be more like a Dallas Clark. And that's where I look at him, is probably in that 20 to 25 type range when it's all said and done. Not into that Kellen Winslow and even Pettigrew. It's a lot of thought Pettigrew would have went in the top 15, and he ended up going 20 to the Lions in last year's draft. But Gresham is going to be that number one receiving type tight end. He's going to go in the first round, but he's going to have to be that guy who's going to get improved in his inline blocking. And I think he will, but his really specialty is being that guy who can go down the seam and really challenge that safety, and as far as not that that outside linebacker cover him, because he's that type of special receiving type tight end.
And last on the list, and Justin, is there any way a head coach, Jim Leavitt, from South Florida, is he sending you tickets? Because we got another South Florida Bull on this list here. Is anything getting thrown your way?
Well, you know, I've gotten a couple, you know, for some tickets from him. What I'm waiting for is some plane tickets as well to get down there. And once I get that, you know, we'll try to wrap up those South Florida guys. But really, I mean, if we're talking about Big East guys, South Florida has got as far as dominant, and, you know. And that defense, we talked about a defensive end, now a linebacker, and two guys in the secondary. I really think South Florida is going to get a real good shot to win that division. I mean, what he brings is a guy who can not only play the Will linebacker, but also the Sam linebacker at the next level. He's got great size, great range, and the guy who was a junior college transfer, who has not only played his last year, his first year in Division I football, this year he's going to just get that much better. And as far as with that talent that's around him, and there's a possibility, you know, even they've got a couple other senior players who have some shot as far as NFL talent, and what they've been able to do there in South Florida in such a short period of time, as far as build that program up into where what the level it is, as far as the NFL scouts are just down there and just salivating of what type of talent they have there. That's amazing, and really, I think as far as South Florida, we got the shot to win the Big East. I mean, last year they had a top 25 run, but I think this year they'll have a more consistency. That defense is just going to be that much better. I think South Florida goes to a BCS bowl game is the champion of the Big East.
I mean, are they getting the talent that are just? I mean, obviously Florida produces a ton of talent. I mean, are these kids not going to the other schools like the Miamis and Florida States, and they're sticking with a team like South Florida? I mean, how are they recruiting these kids with such big schools in that state?
I think the biggest thing is South Florida's found an ability to not only to recruit that secondary talent, they've been able to do is to coach them up and give them opportunities to play. I mean, as far as when you look at a guy like Selby, I mean, a guy who's been able to play all 4 years and been able to be a contributor, that's, I mean, as far as if he was at Miami or Florida, he's not playing until last year. But he's been able to be coached up, been able to get that experience. And I think that's the biggest thing is when we're seeing, and the Big East has been down. I mean, as far as the talent level, when, you know, that's been down as far as when we're looking at NFL type talent. And what they've been able to do is allow these guys to play early, often, play a lot of snaps, and be able to work together as a defensive unit. and really be able to coach that talent up. And I think that's why we're going to see, or at least four guys drafted in the top five rounds in the NFL draft next year out of South Florida.
And, I mean, as always, I like asking you when we finally get done breaking down the list, and Keon Wilson, outside linebacker, finished it up from South Florida. Who was somebody that you kind of, you know, just missed the cut of making the top 10, somebody that you kind of had to turn away, or was there nobody there?
Really, I mean, to be honest with you, there wasn't anybody there that was what was 11. So, you know, there's a couple of guys who have got to do some stuff. I mean, they've got talent. They've got, as far as the measurables, the numbers, and we see a little bit out of them, but they haven't been consistent over at least the whole season. And that's what I kind of do is when I look at it, I want to see them be able to, as far as the whole season, and be able to be consistent in and out so that when they're going into their senior season, I can say, hey, this is definitely a guy to look at. He's a top season type talent in that conference. There's a lot of other guys that are sitting in there that I'm keeping my eye on, and we'll definitely talk about them when we're looking at positions or we're kind of pulling more things out there and saying, hey, this guy could be a player, and talk to the NFL scouts. You know, what I like to do is kind of like be like that NFL scout as far as what they look at is that, hey, they've got to have a full season. We're not looking at junior, you know, juniors or sophomores. We're looking at guys who are going to be seniors, who's been productive in that offense or defense the last year or the number of years prior, and making our decisions on there, because there's still these one-year wonders, so we got to make sure these guys are consistent. So when they come to the NFL level, they are going to be that consistent player, because we've seen guys like Mike Mamula, or, you know, ours a number of years ago, or even as far as Vernon Davis there out of Maryland, who was a junior that came out early, or not have that consistent play at the NFL level because they weren't consistent at college. And when really what you want to do as an NFL scout is make sure that you're filling that core positions and those core offense and defensive guys who've been consistent year in and year out. That's what you got to do when you're breaking down the film and you're looking at guys and you're saying, hey, are they consistent? Have they been consistent when they played as a junior, as a sophomore, as a freshman? They've had that opportunity. So when they come in their senior, they're just going to get that much better. And we, you know, obviously with the NFL draft, we see a lot of juniors being drafted in the first, second rounds. But once you get up the first, second rounds, it's pretty much all senior guys. You've got to look at those junior and sophomore tapes.
And some of the juniors that are in the Big East, who are some of the juniors that should be taking the leap next year to the NFL? Who do you see the guys foregoing their senior season?
I mean, I think there's really, when we're talking about the Big East, I mean, the talent level, as far as the NFL level, there isn't there. There isn't those guys who you're like, hey, those juniors. Like we talked about Dez Bryant out of Oklahoma State and other guys that we've commented on. I mean, really, the Big East, not much NFL talent is in there. You know, year in, year out, they've had some guys, like we talked about Steve Slayton, Pat White out of West Virginia. But really, Miami's down this year. They've got, as far as Jackson, I mean, sorry, James, Javon James, the running back there, who's Edwin James's cousin. I mean, he's definitely a guy who you could look at, and he's going to be a senior. But, I mean, really, the talent level, to me, is not a huge as far as talent level there in the Big East. And that's why it's been hard to kind of figure out who's that top 10 talent level that we've kind of breaking down the Big East when we talk about tonight.
Yeah, so I mean you know, I think this was the fifth conference you've done thus far. We talked like the Pac-10, how weak the Pac-10 was and how strong like the SEC was. I mean, how far do you plan on going with the conferences? How many breakdowns are you going to do?
Well, we're going to do the ACC next. You know, C.J. Spiller out of Clemson is the number one prospect there, the running back. We're going to do as far as the MAC, and then we're going to do some of the other smaller conferences as well, because there is that talent there. And then we're going to start getting the breaking down into positions, the top 10 quarterbacks, the top 10 running backs, the top 10 receivers, basically on the senior prospects. And as we get into – the NFL training camps and stuff like that, we're going to need to know what happened with last year's breakdowns and what does that translate into guys that are going to make the teams. I think we come into, we're kind of in that downward terms in part of the NFL season, but here in a month from now, we're going to be middle smack of training camps, start training camps and get into preseason, and it's going to be an exciting time for NFL fans.
And sticking this Big East football, I was curious to get your take on new Syracuse coach Doug Monroe. He takes over for Greg Robinson. He kind of struggled there over the last couple seasons. What do they expect for Monroe to turn the program around? What kind of turnaround do they expect him to do?
No, I mean, they're obviously looking for a bowl game, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing is when you're in the college football program, Division I, you're always looking for, hey, can we get to a bowl game? They've got talent to do that. We've talked about as far as some of their talented players that they've had already earlier tonight, and they've got the ability to do that. The question mark is the quarterback position. I mean, they haven't had a quarterback that's been a dominant player since Donovan McNabb. You know, as far as when McNabb was there, they had Marvin Harrison, they've had Quadre Ishmael. I mean, they've had some talented players who've come into the NFL and done well there at the Syracuse level. They've always been a more basketball program than they've been a football program, but they've also had the ability to produce some talent there at the NFL level. Obviously had, some first-round picks. Keith Bullock's from, as far as drafted a number of years ago by the Tennessee Titans. So Syracuse always gets some talent there out of the New York level, and that's what they've got to be able to do that. Rutgers has kind of made a jump there in the Big East and kind of take some talent from Syracuse away. But I think Syracuse is going to be able to, get more talent, and Syracuse has got to be able to see what they can do. As far as I think the biggest question mark as far as the quarterback position. Greg Paulus, who was a great quarterback in that New Jersey, New York high school type system, went to Duke, played point guard there for 3 years, and now is going to play or try to play quarterback at the Division I football level. And the question mark is how well does he do? Does he become the starter? I think eventually he will be the starter there at Syracuse, and it's all going to be right on what Greg Paulus can do with the football.
How long do you think it'll take before he becomes a starter?
I think my guess is that if he doesn't start the season by week three, he's the starting quarterback there.
Wow, that quickly, huh?
I think Paulus, the biggest thing is I think Paulus should have went and played college football because he wasn't going to be an NBA guy. He was going to be a guy who was going to have to play overseas if he was going to play basketball. But he could have been a guy who could be a backup type quarterback in the NFL. Doesn't have the great size. He's a 6'1", more of type of a Drew Brees type size quarterback. But as far as has great ability, as far as a great athlete, has pretty good arm strength. Accuracy is what's going to have to question mark as far as when he kind of took a 3 years off of playing that quarterback position and now coming in there and being a starter. And I think eventually he's the best athlete on that team as far as quarterback-wise and is going to be that starter. And the question mark is he had a workout with the Green Bay Packers. He's had, some interest in the NFL level, and he could have went and said, hey, I'm going to give up my college eligibility. He wouldn't have got drafted in the NFL draft, but probably been a free agent. Somebody would have signed him just say, hey, let's see what this guy can do. We've seen a guy like Drew Henson, Chad Henne, guys who played baseball and never, got a shot to play a quarterback at the NFL level because of what they did at the high school level or, somewhat college level. Speaking of Drew Henson, but now we're seeing what Greg Paul's going to do with a full, for his summer training camp and now as far as a fall season, he could kind of, sneak into that, hey, pushing his level of consistency up. It could be, a late draft pick or definitely a priority free agent and really put himself in a position that would be better than playing basketball at the next level.
Excellent. We're talking with Justin Van Fulpen, our NFL draft guru, and he's breaking down the Big East top 10 senior prospects. And anyone who wants to give a call out, the phone number is 347-945-6275. You can call in and ask Justin anything on the world of college football, and I'm your host, Bo Marchant. Justin, getting back to the Paulus, what can't explain it. I mean, with his impact with Syracuse, I mean, what kind of – do you think he could, you know, help – not, I'd say, turn around the program, but, I mean, how much does him playing well help that team this year?
I think definitely because it helps recruiting. I mean, the biggest thing is getting to the bowl game. And they're not going to win the Big East. But they're going to be a team that can have an ability to get to a bowl game, to get to a bowl game that helps recruiting, helps get some of that talent or that New York has lost to other schools, get it back into Syracuse, and that's what they need. They need those Marvin Harrisons, those Don McNabbs, those Keith Bullocks, those types of the guys who's been a first-round draft back there in Syracuse, and they can do that as far as Paul needs to play well. And, you know, there's some thought about him going to Michigan. Decided, hey, he's going to go to Syracuse. Probably was a good decision because I think, you know, he's going to get a better opportunity to play to this year at Syracuse than he would at the University of Michigan.
Excellent. And, you know, switching base a little bit, you know, talk you said, like, Powell, he might be a, you know, free agent guy if he would have went this year. What do you think about that United Football League that's supposed to start up? Do you think how beneficial is that going to be to developing the kids that don't get picked?
Well, the question is there's been a lot of attempts to get a minor league type football team. That's for the All-American Football League. The UFL, they had the USFL, which is they're trying to reborn that. I think the UFL has got an opportunity. I think the biggest challenge they have is they're trying to put that on a Friday night, starting in October, kind of going against college football. I mean, as far as high school football, you've also got college football and the NFL that will be going on simultaneously Saturday and Sunday. I think the biggest thing is what the All-American Football League had. You know, their thought was, hey, let's play in the spring, and that was going to be the biggest opportunity for players. And I had a chance to be involved in the All-American Football League, do some consulting for the UFL, and talk with the commissioner there for a talent level and what different things had brought in there. The thing is the NFL Europe was able to produce a lot of talent, especially on the quarterback position. You had Jake Delhomme, you had Kurt Warner, you had John Kitna. I mean, a lot of guys who now or in the past have been starting NFL quarterbacks played in the NFL Europe system. And there's been a lot of guys in the past who've been beneficial for the NFL Europe. Yes, the NFL Europe lost $13 million, and it wasn't a great financial situation for the NFL to be able to do continuously. So the USL said, hey, can we do that? I think the question mark is, are they going to be able to get the fan support? I think the issue is they made a bad choice of putting it there in October. They should have said, hey, we're going to play it April, May, June, when there's no NFL college football going on, high school football. And I think they would have been successful. My thing is, will they be successful here going against high school, college, and the NFL football?
Probably the answer is probably no. I mean, I would assume. I can't imagine people not going to watch their kids or turning away from the programs, you know, just where they grew up to see the high school football. You agree with that?
I think definitely. I mean, you always have, whether it's your cousins or your nephews or whatever, you're always going to have somebody that's involved in high school football that you know and you want to support. So whether you're not, if you're not watching or going through the games, you're watching those highlight programs on Friday night to see, hey, what happened with, you know, my high school or this high school who my, you know, my nephew goes or my cousin goes or whatever, and you're like, hey, you know. So that's my biggest issue with the UFL is that I don't think they can compete with the high school football, especially as far as some of the bigger markets, like the Texas, the California, the Floridas, who those guys draw more than some of the college programs.
You know, and I mean, so what? I mean, you've been involved with this a long time. You've worked in, you know, behind the scenes and stuff like this. I mean, once these guys go through the colleges and, you know, the combine, they don't get drafted. They might be in a camp this summer. I mean, what's the next step? I mean, is the Canadian Football League the only, I mean, outlet for these guys to go to?
Really, right now it is. I mean, the Arena Football League's been disbanded for a year. The question mark is, do they come back? In 2010, and there's some question marks if they'll have the funding there. really, my whole thing is, you know, I've been, like you said, I've been around this probably in the last 15 years, been involved in, you know, organized football, and definitely part of that next level. And the sad, that's the sad thing is you see a lot of guys who are talented football players who either don't have enough seasoning, don't have enough coaching, don't have enough experience to make it to that next level. And there's just that. There's only eight practice squad positions, 53-man roster, and there's not that developmental league. And my whole thing is, I really like what the NBA has done in the NBA developmental league, where they enable those guys who are those 12th, 11th, 10th guys on the bench, who be able to come in. They're not the superstars, but they're able to come in and contribute. And that's what the NFL has got to try to figure out. Now, I don't think it's the NFL, because I think they've kind of put a bad their positioning with where they've put the schedule in there. I really like what the All-American Football League kind of said, hey, we'll put it in the spring. It's been more kind of like the NFL Europe. And that's what the NFL needs. Needs some type of feeder system. We see as far as with the Major League Baseball, they've got, you know, as far as AAA, AA, single A, the farm systems, and they've been able to do that for the development of the talent to be able to bring it up to the majors. And really, I think that's what the NFL needs. Now, will that be the UFL? Hopefully so, because we need something as far as like NFL Europe to be able to develop our quarterbacks, our offensive linemen, our receivers, et cetera, who, you know, maybe come from a Division II or a Division III school, or only started one season at a major conference, college football program, and really need more of that seasoning, and that's what the NFL Europe gave them. So hopefully something like that will transpire. Hopefully UFL will be it. I don't really perceive that being that with the UFL, but maybe it will be.
Excellent. We're speaking with Justin Van Vulpen on Monday Night Lights, powered by All Access Football, and you can always check out Justin's work on the NFLDraftBible.com. You go there and you can find Justin's breakdown of the top 10 senior prospects of SEC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-10, and his latest edition, the Big East. Justin, I want to thank you for joining us again, as always. I know I always text you after each show telling you how good you did, but there's never a night where we don't talk where I get such a little nugget of knowledge where it's like that was worth the whole show.
Well, you know, boy, I appreciate that. And you, Ms. Poros, we just try to keep on getting that knowledge, and hopefully people can kind of check out the NFL Draft Bible, because you and Rick and everybody does a great job there, and I just be a great of a part of a great team, and hopefully we can get the information out to the NFL fans, because the NFL Draft and NFL football, and hopefully once we start getting these breakdowns done, we'll get a chance to talk more NFL football, and training camp coming up, and I look forward to breaking down all the NFL teams and get things rocking and rolling here as we kind of press towards preseason.
Excellent. I agree with you, man. So next week, next Monday, I'll be looking forward to talking to you, and I'll be excited to see which conference we're going to be breaking down, or you break down, and then we talk about, I should say.
ACC, C.J. Spiller, number one draft, number one prospect, and we'll see what else we can get down there.
ACC, that's always a good thing. That's good football there, man. So, hey, Justin, thanks for joining us tonight on Monday Night Lights, and have a great week.
You too, man.
Thank you. Justin Van Vulpen, our NFL draft guru. Like I said, nobody does it better, breaking down the top senior prospects. You know, and having a guy like Justin, somebody who, you know, has been behind the scenes, has the, you know, the insight of, you know, what we don't know, he knows, and he brings that to us. Like I said, if you guys are like me, you love college football or pro football, I mean, how you can't be, you know, enjoying these breakdowns and getting the insight on guys that you're going to be seeing playing in the NFL, you know, you have something to say about that, you know. It's awesome because, you know, next year I'm going to be watching George Selvey, you know, South Florida Bulls, and I'm going to be looking at this list Justin broke down. I'm going to be checking it out, and I'm going to be picking off these guys saying, man, he nailed this one, and this was a guy. And, you know, when you're sitting there on Saturdays watching the college games, you're going to have a heads up. You're going to be like, oh, Jerome Murthy, South Florida, why does that name sound familiar? Oh, you know what, he's one of the top 10 prospects, maybe in the draft, you know, and then you're going to be watching the draft on Saturday. Well, you might be watching the draft on Thursday with the way things are being said. But nonetheless, you're going to be watching the draft, and you're going to hear that name, Jerome Murphy. And you're going to be like, oh, dude, I remember hearing his name back in June of 2009. It's now April 2010, and I knew who Jerome Murphy was, South Florida Bulls cornerback. And you're going to know what type of style of game he played. Why? Because you're reading and you're listening to the site, NFL Draft Bible, Monday Night Lights, powered by All Access Football. And we have enough time. I'm going to play the Mark Richt piece from Coach Richt. We have enough time for that tonight. And I also want to remind you guys, tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio, All Access Football, you go there, 5 o'clock, you're going to hear Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, and Ralph Mancini. They're going to break down the fantasy football running backs for 2009. Always an entertaining show, and I know everybody out there listening, you love fantasy football. It's a show you don't want to miss. Like I said, it's not so much the guys that we all know about. It's the guys that you don't know about, and they're going to tell you those guys. So it's a show you don't want to miss, and we're going to start with Coach Mark Richt from Georgia.
Welcome to another edition of Monday Night Lights, and I'm your host, Beau Marchant. And we're lucky enough to be joined tonight by head coach of the University of Georgia Bulldogs, Coach Mike Richt. Coach, thanks for having us, being on today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. Excited to have you on because, Georgia football is such a prestigious institution when you think about college sports and the players that have come out of there, Herschel Walkers and Terrell Davises. And you're entering your ninth season there, 82-24 overall, 6-2 in the bowl games. And like I said, you're producing tons of NFL talent that we're going to watch for generations. Coach Richt, looking at last year's season, the preseason, you guys were ranked number one in the polls. Is that a kind of a hindrance, being ranked that high, heading into it?
Well, it's something that needs to be managed. It's just one more thing you got to deal with. But and I just do not be number one preseason. But I think the thing that hurt our team more than anything else was the number of injuries we had. And the other thing is when you have a Matthew Stafford and a No-Shawn Moreno, who we all know are ultimately just super talented guys. Sometimes if they see a star or two, they say, well, gosh, they ought to win because of those guys, but it takes more than just two guys. And when you look at a team overall and I think if people would have studied the fact that we have three freshman linemen and two sophomores starting on our offensive line, not many people would predict that you would, win your league or win the national championship, but Stafford and Moreno were so strong, they, at least in the media, carried the team.
Yeah, and that now, I mean, is there a type of ranking that you kind of prefer to have, heading into it?
Not necessarily, but I think you want to be ranked relatively high because you don't want to be so far out that if three teams go undefeated that you're just out of it by virtue of the fact that you're preseason ranked down the line, but I would say 9 out of 10 seasons, if you play the conference schedule and out of conference schedule that we play, and if you win, you'll find yourself in a chance to play for a championship.
Yeah, playing in the SEC, I mean, hands down, I think, unanimous decision, I think that's the strongest conference in all of college football. With Matthew Stafford and No-Shawn Moreno leaving, I think you guys are bringing back, 7 offensive starters. I mean, is there going to be any change in philosophy to the offense you guys are going to run?
Not really. We'll run the same system. There'll probably be a few different types of passes that we'll attempt with Joe than we did with Matthew. Matthew had the ability to throw, a seam route or like a deep out or something like that. I mean, he could throw it like no one's business. And I don't know if we'd ask Joe to do that down after down after down. But Joe can certainly, run enough of our system where he's very accurate, where I think, he'll do fine.
When you were...
He'll actually be, blessed with a much more mature offensive line, and I think that's going to really be helpful for him, too.
Yeah, it seems like that line might be one of the strengths to your offense. When you're sitting in your office, do you ever kind of daydream and just wish that Matthew and No-Shawn came back for one more season?
It'd have been nice. It'd have been nice to have Asher Allen stick around, too. And, but it was an turned out well for him. You know, I think he ended up being a third round draft pick, so I wish him the best of the Vikings. But, he just knew it was coming. And I think fans really understand who your starters are and maybe who your signing class is, but they tend to forget about all those guys in between that are preparing for their opportunity. And we've got a bunch of guys in that category that I think will do very well.
Yeah, speaking of one of those guys, Zach Mettenberger, big-time freshman prospect. He has, like, that prototypical size. I think he's around 6'5", 230.
Yeah.
How is he looking spring camp and stuff?
He did well. He came in as a freshman in December, a mid-year enrollee, as we call him, and started to learn the system and do very well. And another true freshman, came in at quarterback, Aaron Murray out of Tampa Plant in Florida, and he actually had the same benefit to come in early too. And both those guys did very well for true freshmen, and just when you look at their potential, you realize we're in very good hands for quite some time in Georgia when it comes to quarterback.
And I think I was reading up on some of your past, how you volunteered walk on for Florida State to help coaching the quarterbacks. Do you still take a lot of attention to detail at that position?
Well, I always keep a good eye on it, but, Mike Butler is now our quarterback's coach, and I don't try to get too much in the way. I understand how crucial the player-coach relationship is, and especially if the quarterback's coach is also calling the plays. I don't want to muddy the waters up, so to speak, but I do keep a good eye on it. And I have most of my conversations, with Coach Darbo, if I feel like we need to concentrate on one thing over another. Every once in a while, I'll talk just basic fundamentals with those guys, but I don't want to get into their head too much on their decision-making process because I don't want to confuse the situation. That's the last thing we need.
Excellent. And we're speaking with the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Coach Mark Richt. And, Coach, before we move on past Matthew Stafford and the No-Shaw Moreno guys, what's it like? Do those guys come into your office and kind of say, hey, it's official? I mean, how do you usually find out when those guys, like, declare?
Yeah, I think both of those guys were by phone. It seemed like it was during the time when everybody, it was after the bowl game was over. It was kind of a dead time.
Okay.
With school. But a lot of times they'll tell me in person. A lot of times they'll call me. But they do a good job of giving me a heads up before they make any kind of announcement. Done a good job of giving me that courtesy.
And speaking to some players that are, I think, stand out for you, wide receiver A.J. Green. I think, he really took the SEC, by the storm. What do you expect for him? And when you look at a guy like that, who does he remind you of? Anyone?
Well, first of all, I think he'll do well. He's just so talented. It'd be hard for him not to do well. He's also gotten stronger. He's gained some weight. I think he's continued. I think he's kept his speed and quickness. He actually, believe it or not, had a groin injury most of the year last year. It was just nagging him, and he needs to be 100% healthy when this season rolls around. So I think he'll do well. The only problem he's going to have this year is maybe a little bit more double coverage than he had a year ago. And, so we got to make sure we have other viable options to keep people from, ganging up on the guy.
And another guy I wanted to touch base on your defensive side of the ball is defensive tackle Geno Atkins. I think he's going to be one of the top senior prospects heading into next season.
Right.
Is he kind of like the team leader of that defense?
Well, you know what? He leads by his work ethic and his play. He just gets after people in practice. He's very dominant. But he doesn't hardly say a word. He'll just kind of grin. Not many guys can handle him. And, even double teams sometimes don't do well against him, but he is certainly a leader by example. And then, we also got Jeffrey Owens, who's coming back off an injury, who's another really fine senior tackle prospect that I think will be a high draft pick along with Geno. And then we have another senior named Cade Weston. We have three interior defensive linemen that I think are all NFL ball players that they ought to be a force this year.
And how much does that help you in your recruiting when you can say, look at all these guys that we're producing in the NFL? Is that a big bonus?
It's big. That's not the first thing that comes out of our mouth, that's for sure. There's so many other things that are important in this college experience. The last thing he's a three-and-out guy, or that mentality. You know, if a guy's out 3 years, that's fine, but let's earn the right to be that guy. Let's not try to plan on, let's plan on, you know, getting your degree. Let's plan on growing up as a man. Let's, you know, let's plan on, you know, enjoying the experience of college football and the camaraderie of it. So, you know, don't be in a rush. Now, if it turns out 3 years down the road, or 3 seasons down the road, and you're one of the top picks in the draft, then certainly you have to consider, you know, taking that opportunity.
I really like that response. That's excellent. And I wanted to ask you about the movie Facing the Giants. It's a movie about a head coach down on his luck. Things aren't going right, and he starts practicing the word of the Lord and the word of God and,
right.
and preaching it out. How did that cameo for you to be in the movie come about?
Right. Real quick, two brothers at a church in Albany wanted to start this idea. They did a movie called Flywheel, and they gave me a copy of it. I watched it, enjoyed it. Enjoyed my family, and I said, I really liked it. And then I saw him at a Bulldog Club, Albany Bulldog Club, and they came up to me and said, hey, did you watch the movie? I said, yeah, I liked it. They go, well, we're going to do another one. Would you be interested in doing a part in it? And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And one day, they flew a plane up to Kimmy. We spent maybe six, 7 hours down at Albany shooting my scenes, and then it seemed like 2 years later the thing finally came out, and it just caught like wildfire, and it's just been a tremendous blessing for the church, of course, they put it together, but just for all the people that got a chance to watch the thing. I mean, it was translated into like 10 languages and sold a DVD in 60 different countries. I mean, it really took off.
Yeah, I mean, when we saw it at the Christian bookstore, near where I live, and, they had little footballs, if you bought the DVD, you got the footballs. Like, they really did a nice job of promoting it. And,
yeah.
Like I said, it was a good movie.
That same group of guys did another movie called Fireproof.
Yeah.
And I would welcome everybody to watch that.
Yeah, I've seen Fireproof, too. That's another good movie, like I said. But I was surprised to see you in there. I was happy to see you in there. I thought that was a nice, nice to see, somebody,
sure.
of your nature and your status, being in a movie with, you know what that movie's about. And,
I loved it, and I'm glad I did. And it's funny, a lot of times you go around different places, and when people recognize you, they usually recognize you because you're, a coach in the Southeastern Conference. But every once in a while, especially younger kids, they'll go, yeah, he's the U.S. Facing the Giants. They have no idea, that I even coach football for real. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, another funny story, just to compliment you, when we were watching it with another couple, and then, me and the other gentleman noticed, that, hey, that's Coach Rick, and, and our wives asked, oh, who is that? We explained who it was, and they're like, oh, he's cute, he's handsome, he's a handsome man, so, but,
that's funny.
Yeah, but, well, Coach, like I said, we just wanted to thank you for joining us on the NFL Draft Bible, and, we just wish you the best this upcoming season and hope to see those Georgia Bulldogs make that final push to a championship game.
That'd be great. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
And that was Coach Mark Richt, and he was nice enough to join us. And I'm your host, Bo Marchant, and we have a little bit of time left before we wrap another edition of Monday Night Lights up, powered by All Access Football. I want to remind you guys again, tomorrow, 5 o'clock, go to Blog Talk Radio, hit All Access Football. You're going to hear the 2009 Fantasy Football Running Back Breakdown by Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, and Ralph Mancini. They're going to be breaking it down. You guys can call in, give your takes, ask questions, get some insight. And we're going to end the show. We got about 30 seconds to go. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And as always, have a great week. Stay safe. And we're going to be looking to touch base next Monday.